Good morning, Vault Dwellers and Wasteland Wanderers. You're listening to the Vaultcast, of course, and it's episode 11. We've got a great one planned, and Bruce is going to tell you exactly what we're talking about today.
So today we're going to be talking about the Fallout choices and the consequences of said choices.
Yes, because if there's one thing Fallout has been built around since, you know, basically the day it came out 20-odd years ago, it's a choice and consequence system. You're able to do whatever you want to do in these games, and some of those actions do lead to unfortunate or fortunate consequences that obviously impact the way the game unravels. Some more than others. Like, you know, if you look at Fallout 4, choice system doesn't really mean much, but if you look at Fallout 3, New Vegas, you've got the karma systems, and we'll go more into them a little bit later on. So what we're going to do, we're going to go through the three main games that everyone's kind of played, and we're going to talk about some, not all, because obviously there's quite a few. We're going to talk about some of the most meaningful and important decisions that you can kind of make that shape the Wasteland, and we're going to kind of discuss like what we did and why we did what we did. But disclaimer, little pre-warning here, Fallout New Vegas, we can't touch upon it too much because for shame, Bruce hasn't played it enough to actually have experienced some of these decisions. So, New Vegas.
Which has been said in pretty much every episode when Fallout New Vegas arrives.
Exactly. So, I'm going to say, you know, some of the things that I did because I love New Vegas, but Fallout 4 is really our sweet spot. So, we'll touch into that a lot more in depth. So, we'll start off with Fallout 3. And, Bruce, we'll go straight in with you because this is one of the, well, one of the earliest things kind of you come across in Fallout 3. But it's, I think you can kind of stretch it out and come back later on and figure it out. So let's start with where it all began. Vault 101, what are you doing? When it comes to Butch and the Overseer and you're leaving Vault 101, what are you doing? What's the choices that you made there?
I pretty much left them all how they were meant to, and I just went, you know. I left the Overseer. I said, look, let me go or else let me go or else your daughter pays. And he's like, my God, you can't do that. Not that you'd kill your girlfriend in the game, but yeah, I let him go. And with Butch, I helped him. You know, I helped him out. I was like, I'll go save your granny.
What was this? Yeah, did you get his jacket and everything? And
yeah, you get the Tunnelsnakes jacket.
They'll give you my Tunnelsnakes jacket if you help my mom. I think on my first playthrough, right, I didn't really understand that the game would have like a karma system, and I never played a game. I always say that when I talk about Fallout 3, I'm always like, I never played a game like it. So when I went to Fallout 3, I didn't expect these choices to mean much. So I didn't like Butch, you know, the whole sweet role thing. I didn't like the Overseer because, you know, the whole like dad thing. So I just went, I think I blattered them both to pieces. I didn't help Butch's mom. I didn't do any of that. I think subsequent playthroughs I did, but for the first one, I think I turned into a bit of a killing machine because I didn't realize how negatively the karma thing affects you, right?
I think I did the opposite. I think I for my first time around, I was just really nice, and then I went evil on the next playthrough.
Yeah, you know, I can't do it. If there's a karma system or like a moral system in a game, I can never be the evil guy.
Aww, ain't that sweet, guys, eh? Ain't that sweet?
I just can't.
You blat them.
I just can't. I feel so bad. There's just something, obviously Fallout New Vegas is the same. It had a karma system. Fallout 4, you could be an absolute jerk if you want. You could be sarcastic to everything someone says, but I just cannot. I hate being the bad guy. I hate killing innocent people, and it's bad, you know. I mean, every game I play, you basically kill everything, but I don't like it. But, so we left the vault. You know, with the choices. We've left the vault now. We're out in the wide open, capital wasteland. And we come across a little town just outside and to the right of Vault 101 called Megaton. And obviously, Megaton is built around a big-ass bomb. So, Bruce, the next thing. Are you blowing up Megaton or are you defusing that bomb?
So, in my first playthrough, I defused it because I actually enjoyed going around Megaton. In my second playthrough, and probably many after that, I blew it.
Because you get that really epic scene on top of Tenpenny Tower, right?
Yeah.
and then Moira, she still survives the nuke. I think everyone blows it up just to get rid of Moira. Moira, however you say the damn name. People say, stop going, sending me on these fetch quests, just die. And you go back and she's the only one that survived. It's so ironic. It's unbelievable. But I think I was the same. I think the first time I went in, I defused it. And I said, bye-bye. I'm not going to kill all these people because good guy, you know. But on the second one, I wanted to live in Tenpenny Tower. I really wanted to live in the tower because it was such a cool place, you know, like guarded and secret, and everyone still had like money and stuff, and it was really cool, you know, like sort of a diamond in the rough. And I was like, yeah, let's just blow it up and get a little apartment up in the top of Tenpenny Tower. But with Tenpenny Tower in mind, do you remember how you handled the ghoul situation?
Yeah, I didn't like Tenpenny Tower. I thought they were all stuck up, so I let the ghouls in.
See, I think at this point we've kind of experimented with every single one, but you know, we'll stick with the original playthrough because that's like, that's where it all, you know, we'll say they are the vanilla choices. They're the uninfluenced choices. You know, when you go back and you do another one, it's like, well, you already know what's going to happen. So it's not really a natural choice. So I didn't let them in because obviously I liked Tenpenny Tower. So I was kind of there. But there are lots of other little ones. You know, one that I quite like when it comes to Fallout 3 choices is Harold in the Oasis. You know, the guy that's kind of like molded into the tree. How did you handle Harold? What did you do with Harold?
See, this was one of the choices I actually found quite difficult because there was quite a lot to take into it. So, after much consideration, I actually convinced him to live for the people and continue to grow the area around him.
I think I went down and decimated the guy's heart. Because wasn't, correct me if I'm wrong, because I can't remember completely what happens there, but isn't that what he wants? He doesn't want to suffer anymore in the tree. He wants you to sort of go down and go, look, just end it for me, get me out, you know. Isn't that how it goes?
I believe so, yeah. The thing with Fallout 3 is I can't play it anymore because of Windows 10.
Oh, yeah.
But when I did play it, like there's so many options to it. So you can either put resin around his heart to stop people attacking it, you can destroy his heart, or you can burn it down.
Yeah, or just do nothing.
But if you talk to Harold, he hasn't really thought through like what he's doing. Like, he is single-handedly transforming the wasteland.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. I can't remember what, you know, obviously when you complete the game and it goes back through and it shows you the impact of your choices, I can't remember what happens if you leave him alive. Sorry, if you like convince him to live and then I think his abundance spreads further, I think.
I believe it does, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe that's one of the choices that I got wrong. I shouldn't have killed Harold. I should have let him go on and spread his leafy tendrils and his seed.
You're right, so, there.
Yeah, so another one, you know, we'll go to the end now. I know it's a bit funny, we've gone from mid-game to the end, but, you know, we're on a time limit here. So right at the end of Fallout 3, it obviously wraps up with Project Purity, and you're left with the penultimate choice of sending in Lyons to activate Project Purity, obviously sending her to her death, or you go in to Project Purity to your death. So where did you go at that point? Who are you sending in? Yourself, or are you sending in Lyons?
See, I didn't realise that it would end the game. So I went in.
Do you know what? That is the exact same scenario as me. Because obviously, let me say it again in case you didn't hear it. I never played a game like Fallout 3 before. So when I was like, okay, every game I played that was open world, you know, up until that point, I don't know, a good example, San Andreas. It was one of my favourite open world games when I was a kid, right? Sorry, when I was of the requisite legal age to play the title. and I absolutely loved it. And obviously you finish the game and then that's it. You just step out of the house and you just keep on going. And I was like, Fallout 3 has got to be the same, surely. I've spent, you know, a couple of hundred hours just exploring and that's it. I'm going to keep on going. So I was like, yeah, let me just stroll in because, you know, why not? I could definitely be the hero here and save the day. And then it's like, what? Ron Perlman, what are you saying? Why are you rolling credits, man? What's going on? And that was it. And I was like, oh, I didn't realize. So I think if it was like I could have gone on, I would have sent her on. I would have sent in Lyons because you want to keep playing, right? You know, you want to keep on going. But yeah, I think knowing that it would be the end, I'd take the choice of being the hero every time because there's no point in not going in. So that would be me. But that's Fallout 3. We, you know, a little dusting of the very many, many, many choices. Obviously, Fallout 3 brought in the karma, the proper karma system, and it was really good. You know, you could either be good, evil, or neutral, and that carried on into Fallout New Vegas. Fallout 4, we're kind of saying they dropped it, so choices matter a lot less, but, you know, we'll come across that. So, New Vegas gets a couple of minutes in this window here, but it's not going to be much. So, Bruce, how legitimately do you remember making any choices in New Vegas?
Not really, no.
Did you even get out of Good Springs?
Yeah, I gave it a good whack.
So the first choice you come across is whether you want to help Ringo in Good Springs or if you want to go inside of the Powder Gangers. Do you remember that?
No. You got to remember how long ago this came out.
It's the first quest.
I know.
So right off the bat, they introduce you to the karma system by giving you this guy called Ringo, who's hiding out from a gang called the Powder Gangers, and he's hiding in a settlement called Good Springs. Now, Good Springs have just saved you. They've just saved your life, and you have the option straight away to go, I don't care, and kill them all. You can do that, because that's Fallout goodness, right? Or you could decide to side with them, build up their defenses, and fight back against this gang. And I always fought back against the Powder Gangers because I love Good Springs. It's that small town vibe, you know. It's a bunch of people just trying to get along and sort of mosey on in the post-apocalypse. And I love Good Springs, like, to death. So I help them out every time. But obviously, when it comes to choices in Fallout New Vegas, the biggest thing is who gets the Strip. The whole game is built around the battle for the Strip, or, you know, the battle for Hoover Dam. But ultimately, it's who controls the New Vegas Strip. And you can pick between a whole host of factions, or you can go it alone and you can play this role where you take on an army of robots and you destroy every other faction, and it's just you. And you control the Strip, and you are, like, you know, after that point, you are the man, must be seen to be the man, you know. So with that, that's obviously a very, very impactful thing. It shapes the entire end game, and it's the same as Fallout 3. Once you've made that choice and you've secured the ending, you can't... It stops there, you know, you don't go on anymore, which again is where Fallout 4 lacks, because there's no real stakes, there's no ultimate ending, it just keeps going, there's no sacrifice play there, and building up to the sacrifice play, although it's annoying for an open world game, you kind of think, like, it has a point, everything I've done leads to a point, whereas Fallout 4 doesn't really have that. So, New Vegas, you got things like... activating the power at Helios 1. Who do you give the power to? You know, do you kill Benny or not? There's some choices that are quite pointless. Like, do you kill Benny or do you spare him? If you spare him, nothing really happens. He just kind of goes off, and I think he might end up with the Legion, and he dies anyway or something. But so, we can't touch upon New Vegas properly. But, you know, we'll have to put it to the side a little bit. But we do have a hell of a lot to talk about with Fallout 4. So... Bruce, let's go in Fallout 4, and we'll start with, you've got a whole list here. Let's start with the Minuteman thing, right? Because that kind of starts off really early, and it goes throughout the entire game, and if you side with them, it's an endgame thing as well. Do you choose to play that Minuteman role? Do you choose to go and help out everyone in the Commonwealth Wasteland?
Yes, I do. In my first playthrough, that is exactly what I did, yeah.
And another settlement needs your help, and you go and help them? You do that? You promise?
I did. I really did.
Because it gets to a point where it gets a little bit annoying, right? If you just go on forever. I mean, they had to do it. You know, it's a sneaky tactic to long the game out, but I think it gets to a certain point where you just kind of stop. But then saying that, did you go off with the Nuka World DLC, become a raider, then come back and basically kick the Minutemen off the board?
No, I didn't really.
See, I think I did. I think I came back as a raider overlord, and I took all the camps that were established around, all the settlers that were established around the Commonwealth, and I planted my raider flags in there, and I took them all back over. And I think at that point, obviously, the Minutemen become hostile to you, and you basically can't go back to Sanctuary, because as soon as you approach, they just start shooting at you and stuff. And obviously, they're still, like, perma-life. You can't kill them, right? You can't kill Preston Garvey, I'm pretty sure, right?
I don't think so. No, I think he is perma.
Yeah. But, you know, we're talking about the karma thing, right? So Fallout 4 doesn't have a karma system. There's no good or evil. There's no morality. And for that, it's kind of weak, because when you say something to someone, you don't care how it's going to go because there's no karma. You don't care about stealing something because there's no karma. You don't care about killing something because there's no karma. There's no real consequence to what you're doing. But with that being said, there are obviously a lot of choices to be made in the game, aren't there, that they do impact how things unravel and stuff. Like, I know one that you said about what's the vault with the mole rat thing. I can never remember the number of the vault.
81,
I think it's either 81 or 87.
I think it's 81.
But that's another good choice, isn't it? Like, how did you play that one out?
So for people that don't know, if you haven't played it, you go into vault 81, there's a sick and dying kid, and you're told go on this quest to find a cure. Now, in the vault, there's a hidden part of the vault which was doing all medical experiments. And in this vault, there are secret experimented mole rat, which if they bite you, you will gain a debuff. I think it's only minus 10 health, but it's permanent minus 10 health. Now, there's one cure, and you can either keep it for yourself and get rid of that minus 10 health debuff, or you can give it to the kid and save his life. But beware, there is only one cure. So I, being the hero of the Wasteland that I am, gave it to the kid and just dealt with minus 10 health for the rest of my game.
I think really, like, there's no real I mean, it doesn't... There's no reason why you wouldn't give it to the kid, right? Because a minus 10 debuff is nothing. I think they deliberately made it so insignificant just because they're like, you're going to give it to the kid, right? Surely you're going to give it to the kid. And I think if you play that out right, you obviously you have the ongoing, the strengthened relationship with the vault and everything, and you can actually get some good settlers out of the vault. Like, what's the name of the settler? What's her name? She's in, like, the engine room, the reactor room, and her brother's, like, a drug addict, and... What's her name?
I can't remember.
So you could... Basically, there's, like, a little sub-mission down there, you know. So there's this girl, she's a teenager, she's got her brother, he's addicted to chems and whatever. And I think the mission goes, you need to get him off them and get them out of the vault to get them to, like, you know, come and live with me or whatever. But she's actually voiced by Ashley Birch, which is kind of cool. Ashley Birch did a few different characters in Fallout 4, but this one was kind of like, you could have her come back to your camp and be a settler, which was really interesting. She's, you know, a great voice actor, and that was like, it was almost like a cameo more than anything else, because you didn't really know it was her, but then you hear her speak and you're like, hold on a second. Obviously, Ashley Birch has played some fantastic characters like Aloy from, you know, Horizon Zero Dawn, and Chloe from Life is Strange. So that's why that vault, you know, I gave the kid the medicine and it played out quite well, and I think that's what I did. But there are so many more. So let's talk about Billy the Fridge Kid, the guy, Billy in the fridge, right?
Oh, Billy the Fridge Boy. Yep.
So what did you do with Billy the Fridge Boy?
I saved him and his parents because I'm so nice.
Do you know what? It was one of those things where, and it goes to show, right? The explorative potential for Fallout 4. You're just wandering around and suddenly you hear a voice coming from a chained up, or like, was it a chained up fridge? Was it chained or was it just locked?
Locked, I think.
Yeah. So you find this fridge and you hear a voice and it's like, nothing tells you to go there. So if you don't happen to walk by that one bit, you're never going to find it. And it's like just the randomest thing in the world, a kid in a fridge. And you come across the guy and the guy's like, oh, I'll buy him off you for some cats. And you're like, ooh, money. I think I too took him back to his parents, and it's a bit weird. Like, they were still in the same house, living the same life, but they were just ghouls now. And it's kind of strange, you know. And
my question is, who locks a fridge?
My dad. You know, I think... I forgot where we were. So, I think Billy as well. I think is he the only ghoul child in Fallout? I can't remember. I don't remember seeing another one anywhere.
Yeah, I think you're actually wrong. I don't think there's any other ghoul children.
So he's,
or
yeah,
if
he's
there
unique.
Are, the gunners have already got them.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's kind of unique, you know. And obviously you help him out and you don't get much out of it. It's just a feel-good mission, taking Billy back to his parents and they reunite. And it's like, oh my God, you've been missing for 700 years. And it's great. But there are other ones where you can kind of end horrifically and it's not such a good ending. So what about Covenant, you know, this idyllic little safe zone in the middle of the wasteland. It's got big walls, loads of turrets around it, the houses, everyone's living their quaint little life behind the safety of these walls. There's obviously a dark secret, there's a mystery attached to this location, but you do have the option to go in and just bah, 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 ratata, just kill everything, right? How did you handle Covenant, Bruce?
One word, fat man.
I think I kind of do the same. I lure them out and I blast them all down because Covenant's such a cool location. And you have to. Obviously, you can play it out nice and everyone's all happy and jolly and you still get the place as a workshop. But I think taking it over the forceful way, that's a good choice to make. We've got, you know what? Let's just, we're running thin on time and we've still got so many more to talk about. So let's go through them like rapidly, right?
Okay.
So, Cabot questline. How are you ending Cabot questline?
Killing Lorenzo.
I think I killed Lorenzo as well, and that boss battle was pretty epic, right? What is it you get if you don't kill him? Do you just get his...
What do you mean that boss battle was epic? You just gas him in his chamber.
Do you not? What did I do then? I had a really tough fight against the guy. He had like telekinesis.
You released him. You must have released him and then gone back and then joined the other. You must have joined Jack Cabot outside.
Oh, I have no idea. I know it was a really tough fight.
No. If you do it the way that you meant to do it, you just gas him in his chamber and then you go steal his clothes.
Because in Fallout, if you're not going to kill someone and steal their clothes, are you really playing Fallout? Okay, next up. Far Harbor. Do you send settlers to their death?
No, that's weird. I'm not going to send them to some sort of cannibal boy. Plus, it's a really nice place to build.
Where is it again?
A lumber mill, I believe.
Ah, because you see, because my favourite place to build in Far Harbour is Longfellow's cabin. That's the best place. That's end game stuff. That's like retirement level stuff there. Next one. Next one. Mama Murphy and her chems. How are you playing that one out?
In my original gameplay, I did give her chems, and I didn't realise that you can OD her.
See, I didn't know either. And obviously, then, you know, you play the thing where it intertwines everything else. And if you do it too late and you've got Kate at your side and Kate's been cured and you give Mama Murphy the chems, it then makes Kate hate you. And it intertwines and it's quite good. And it's one of those things where you've got Mama Murphy predicting the future and stuff. It's quite interesting. But I don't think past, you know, the initial little prediction that she gives you where she's like, oh, go to Diamond City and whatever. Yeah, I think after that point, I just locked her in a shed and just forgot about her for the entire game. I don't think I actually realized that you could do more with Mama Murphy. So that's kind of where it ended for me. Next one. And look at the list. I think it's the last one. Yeah, we'll say this is the last one. So Virgil, obviously quite an important character when it comes to the Fallout 4 story, especially if you pursue it properly. And he's super intelligent. What's his name? Super mutant infected with a specific strain of the FEV. What are you doing with Virgil? Are you curing him from his super mutantism? Are you letting him live on as a super mutant? Are you killing him? Like, what's going on with Virgil?
I cured him.
I think on the first one, I went into the Institute and I forgot to get his cure. So I think I killed him. And that's how it went with my first one. Obviously, that's the most natural one. But it wasn't a choice so much as an accident. I think I wanted to cure him, you know. And I think I did on a subsequent playthrough. But, you know, that's it. So in Fallout 4 as well, obviously, there's a lot of choices that mean kind of like nothing. You know, there's no karma system, like we said. It doesn't have a locked ending. So there's no real, like, there's no consequences. There's no sacrifice play. Like, look at the opening. You create your spouse and you spend ages crafting the character just to have them, you know, spoiler alert, just to have them die 30 minutes, not even 30 minutes, like 4 minutes. Yeah, like 3-4 minutes later, you have them die and you're like, well, that was a waste of time. And, you know, so if Fallout 4 had a karma system, I think it'd be a lot more immersive and whatever. But that's it. That's the choices and the consequences that we make in Fallout and all the things that we know and love about the game and whatever. You know, you guys probably made some different choices to us. You might have made the same ones. You might have done exactly the same thing as we did with every single playthrough. So, you know, reach out to us and let us know if you made different choices or if you think our choices are barbaric or if we're too soft with some of our decisions. And, you know, social media, let us know. But Bruce, what are we talking about in the next episode?
So our next episode is our Q&A episode. We want you to ask us questions and we'll answer them to the best of our ability. You know, you can ask us anything, what we did, what we prefer. You can ask us something about the game that you might think that we'd know. You know, if there's something you've come across and gone, have you seen X, Y, and Z? And do you know what it is? And we'll be like, well, yeah, it's this. Or no, we don't know. So it should be a good laugh.
Yeah, so we'll be putting out on, you know, the Facebook groups and the Twitter and the Instagrams, and we'll be saying, hey guys, give us your questions, whatever you want to ask us, even if it's not related to Fallout. You could be asking us, how do we make a podcast? Like, whatever you want, just, it's an open book. And that obviously comes out in 2 weeks. So as always, we appreciate you giving your time to us today. We hope you've enjoyed the show. We'll see you next time. But Vault Dwellers and Wasteland Wanderers, if there is one thing you should always remember,
it's that war never changes.